I would also like to apologize to each and every one of you.
The first runner-up is...
Yeah, this one goes out to all you minivan families out there. Sienna SC in the house.
I'm Dale Peterson, and I'm after the Republican nomination for Alabama Agriculture.
World famous Phil Henry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And brother, where we take you through the looking glass. Woo! Welcome back, and thanks very much for being with us. Our new listeners in Toronto, Canada, our new live listeners in Portland, Oregon, and our great network of affiliates, as well as all of you guys listening to us and watching us on the internet at philhenryshow.com. You can watch the show, you can listen to the show, and if you don't watch the show and listen to the show on the internet, you're missing a whole reality show because it's sick. Ted Turner weighs in on the oil spill. We'll have that story for you. That story for you. Man.
Talk much?
I don't know, man, but my left hand was paralyzed there for a moment. And no, it ain't got nothing to do with that. And I'm going to belt somebody if they bring it up again.
Yeah, but you know, you talk about it.
I didn't talk about anything. I said my finger was stiff, and then you guys start making jokes. The new Miss USA is an Arab American. That's supposedly a big deal. Well, it's a big deal if you don't like Arab Americans, and she was in a stripping contest for a local radio station. 877-876-PHIL. So anyway, back from vacation, and as we think of these vacation stories, certainly I'll lay them on you, but nothing really all that heavy happened other than the fact that, oh, you know, we went places. I mean, I can tell you, for instance...
Tell about the happy place, that what you did.
Yeah. No, well, it wasn't the happy place. It was called Happy Island.
Yeah.
I mean, Happy Island was cool. It was a place where his cat and his wife live. And the interesting thing about it is this. Apparently in St. Vincent and the Grenadines, if you squat on a piece of land, you own it. You can own it. If you are a citizen of that country and the land is not owned by anybody and you just go ahead and you set up a shop there, you can own the land. I'm sure there's certain restrictions.
No, wait, what do you mean that he squatted?
I mean he went there to live, okay?
Yeah.
So... there was a little spit of sand, and by a spit of sand, I mean just a tiny sandbar, literally, in the channel between Palm Island and Union Island. Now, if you guys want to get a taste of what it was like to fly a prop airplane in and out of Union Island, I actually videoed us taking off from Union Island, and it's on the Real Bud Dickman channel on YouTube. Actually, go to our website, philhenryshow.com, and scroll down, and the video is there. And you'll see us, you know, going down the runway.
Yeah, what the... are you kidding me? That's real?
What do you mean, is it real?
I thought that you faked it out. Is it real?
Yes, it's real. What do you think I did?
I thought it was fake. Yeah, it looked like it was fake to me.
What do you mean fake? That was... what are you talking about fake? I did that. I was in that airplane. And I videoed that. Here it is, right here. Watch. See? That's the video.
Yeah, I thought you faked it.
Yeah, that's me in the plane filming it, you jackball. See this? Now, this is on our website. Just scroll down, go to the second page, I think, and you'll see me. I mean, you'll see us. I'm shooting out the window of this bloody thing as it's taking off from Union Island. Now, in between Union Island and Palm Island, it was a little sandbar. So this guy, Jean T, and his wife, I think her name is Andrea, that's it. They decide to take over this spit of land because they live in St. Vincent. They are legally entitled to do that, and that's what they did. Now, what does the guy do? He doesn't just have this little sandbar. He starts bringing in conch shells, those sea snails, and he brings in these conch shells by the bushel until he's got enough of these things that he is now building out the island. And once he got the base for this island built out, then he starts pouring concrete, and he puts up retaining walls, and he puts up a little patio, and he builds a kitchen. This cat's got a restaurant and bar sitting right in the middle of the channel there between these two islands, and it's called Happy Island. That's what he calls it. And his business is people on their boats, they stop, And it's a goofy kind of a cool little world down there. Apparently, there's all these cats and yachts that go sailing through there all the time.
Well, are they, like, rich and everything?
What do you think, man?
Well, you don't know.
Yeah, they're rich. I guess they are rich. They got yachts. They got, cat's got a private yacht that he's sailing down to the Caribbean. Yeah, I'd say he's rich. But these guys are, you know, it's not like Lovey and Mrs. What's-her-ass there on Gilligan's Island. I mean, these guys are real sailors. They know how to sail these boats. They got a crew, or sometimes they sail it themselves. Sitting right out in the middle of the channel as these boats will split through the Grenadines, because it's like a little necklace of islands that extend down from St. Vincent. And so guys are sailing through this. Like I said, there's the Tobago Keys, which are really gorgeous. And if you go to the Tobago Keys, it's like a parking lot, man. There's like 50 to 100 to 200 boats sitting there anchored because it's prime snorkeling territory. And there's these giant sea turtles and a whole, you know, really grooviosity kind of a thing. So anyway, the people who live on these islands, they sit out in the middle of the channel, right, in a boat. Now, when a guy comes by in his big sailing yacht that may say, you know, Yo Mama out of New York City, because if you've seen, you know, they'll put the port of call or wherever the hell they're from, they'll stop and they'll say, yeah, go into town and get me about 16,000 gallons of rum and one candy bar. And the guy will go, you got it. Okay.
What do you mean?
He goes and gets groceries.
Yeah, so you can go on the island, go get the groceries, come and bring them back, right?
Exactly. So you can, and they sit out there in the channel. So the guys will stop and say, hey, how you doing? Hey, good. Can you go on into, whatever the hell the village is there in Union Island? Would you go in there and get me this, that, this, that, this, that? Your little list, you give them the money, the guy goes in. Now, if he doesn't come back, you go in with firearms and you lay waste to the, no, I'm kidding. So they, you know, they come back. And, so that's kind of cool. But anyway, this dude with Happy Island. So I go out to Happy Island, and if you go to our website, philhenryshow.com, we actually have a whole video of us going out to Happy Island, man. And we go there, and there's his wife. She's serving up the rum punch and potato chips, and there's Jean T laying on his ass, and it's all great. And I say laying on his ass, you know, I say that with all due respect, because the guy's, he's got it going on, man. And then on top of everything else, by the way, I don't know if anybody cares, but the audio is not working now on the website. So I just thought I'd make that little technical point. So anyway, I go out there, and this dude has got it going on. He's got solar panels on the roof. He's got a little windmill going, which powers the generator that keeps the lights going. And in the middle of an ocean channel between islands, gee, do you think there's wind? I think so.
Is there? Or are you kidding?
Yes, there is.
What do you think he's talking about, man?
He said, you think there's wind?
Yes, there's wind, man. Out in the ocean, there's wind. Maybe not all the time, maybe not going 150 miles an hour, but there's wind. There's enough wind to keep the propeller or the, whatever the hell that thing is, that blade on a windmill going, man. And brother, he's got it going on. So he's got this thing going. And then there was another guy I met while we were out there at Happy Island. So keep in mind, this guy built this thing on a spit of sand with conch shells. And then I said to him, John T., how many guys come through here every month offering to go partners with you? Because it's got to be. Not that many. You would be surprised. I said, well, I don't believe you. Then that guy says, you see that island over there? I go, yeah. He says, that's Russell Island. Oh, really? You know why it's called Russell Island? I said, no. He says, because a cat named Russell lives there. I said, he goes, yeah. See, I said, oh, he squatted. Yes, he did. He squatted on that island. And so he lives there. And so we call it Russell Island because Russell lives there. I said, well, that makes, you know, yeah. I said, okay, so it's Russell Island. I mean, but he's nuts. It turns out that the guy that lives on Russell Island is nuts. He doesn't have a boat. He waits for the tide to go out so that there's a land bridge between his island and the main island, and he walks across the land bridge, goes into town, gets drunk, buys groceries, scares the children, whatever he does, and then he goes back across the land bridge. And I said, now, would I be welcome? He said, no, you don't want to go to Russell Island. He's weird, you know. I said, does Russell ever come over here to Happy Island? He goes, yeah, on occasion. So I'm like, this is insane. So we bid fair adieu to Jean T and his wife Andrea or Angela. I never did get her name right. And I also waved to Russell out there on Russell Island. And I thought I saw a weak hand come out the window and wave feebly, but I'm not sure. And we headed on back. So that was kind of a cool story and kind of a goofy time. But I mean, like every day there was something else like that going on, you know. And when we finally did, you know, I finally said, well, let's go explore this island. And so we did, and started pouring down rain. But understand one other thing to tell you about, and that's the guy that originally built the hotel on this Palm Island in the Grenadines. His name's John Caldwell, an American, one of these visionary guys, right, who went there in 1966 and looked around and said, this is where I will make my stand. And what he did was he built a resort hotel on this island. Now, it was purchased and taken over and, you know, refurbished and all this stuff by the current owners. But it was this guy, John Caldwell's idea. And they called him, I said, did they call him Johnny Coconut? They said, no, they called him Coconut Johnny. Oh, I see, because I thought I saw this Johnny Appleseed. Yeah, it was named after Johnny Appleseed. All right, he was named after Johnny Appleseed, so why do they call him Johnny? The hell is that?
I think they turned on a computer on account of it was broken.
Okay. I said, so Johnny Appleseed, they call him Coconut Johnny. All right, they call him Coconut Johnny, whatever. What did he do? Well, he planted coconuts. Because it was called Prune Island. So then here comes John Caldwell. He plants coconuts. Now it's called Coconut or Palm Island. Not Coconut Island, Palm Island.
Well, what did he plant, palms or coconuts?
He planted coconut palm, man.
Coconut palms.
And they called him what, Palm Johnny? Or Palmet Johnny.
Get out of here. Palm it, Johnny. 877-876-PHIL. The finale of Survivor delivered big ratings last night, plus some call a new Toyota ad racist and offensive. It most likely is. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Well, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and we're online at philhenryshow.com. And we'll take a phone call here. We still should talk, although I hope in a more refreshing and a more egalitarian and ultimately more understandable way, the fascist bastards that spilled all that oil, I'm kidding, but, you know, in the Gulf. Because it sucks, Jack. It sucks so much. Well, I don't even want to tell you. We'll get to it in a minute here. Let's go to Junior in Los Angeles, listening on KTLK. Junior, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What can we do for you, sir?
Hey, Phil, I'm actually from St. Vincent. I'm enjoying listening to you talk about my country.
I loved it. I love St. Vincent. And as I said during the pre-show, it's so refreshingly different from the rest of the Caribbean.
Oh, yeah, it is. And you are right about the people at the airport in Barbados. They are not a pleasant sort of people.
Is it because it's so busy there? You know, it must be a lot busier than the main airport, say, in St. Vincent, which is Kingstown, is it?
Yes. It is a lot busier. St. Vincent doesn't have a large airport. Barbados, a lot of flights that go to St. Vincent have to go through Barbados first. So
we did. Yeah, we took a puddle jump from Barbados. But it was like night and day, because when we left Barbados and we got to St. Vincent, it was, oh, welcome to our country. Do you guys think you're going to stay? Don't forget to go to the Tobago Keys. And, well, it's great to have you here. And be also try this restaurant down the road. And these are the customs and immigration people talking to me.
You know? Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I said, well, you got a beautiful country. Thank you very much, sir. And it's great to have you. Bam, ba, boom, boom, boom. Then I get to Barbados and welcome back to the planet Earth. You know, everybody's a pain in the ass. So now, so it's a gorgeous country, man. And where did you grow up in St. Vincent?
I grew up in Bel Air. It's on the main island, St. Vincent, just outside of
And
Cape
did
Town.
you And what was it like leaving the idyllic palm-shaded ways of St. Vincent, and suddenly you're in the hustle of America? Was it just
I miss it every day. I came to the States in 2002 to go to college and ended up staying here. But I miss it every day.
Let me ask you something. Where'd you go to school, Junior, here in Los Angeles?
No, I went to school in Plattsburgh, New York. Fancy that.
Dude, that's like it's like going to Mars. You must have been like going to Mars.
That's how it felt when I first got there.
Oh my Lord. But you think if you ever go back to St. Vincent, man, now you'll be bored, won't you? Because you'll go, geez, you know, this is nice, but I wish I could go out and get a hero sandwich or something.
Oh, yeah, no? You're right. I went back for a month in 2006, and after 2 weeks there, I was ready to leave, even though I'm from there, you know?
It was boring.
Yeah.
Which, it's a beautiful country, man. It's a beautiful country, and we had a blast, and we definitely would go back. I don't go to the Caribbean for vacation, but I would definitely go back to St. Vincent and the Grenadines because those folks down there were great. I had as much fun there, and the same kind of people as I met in Fiji, which is way over in the South Pacific. The same kind of happy people, you know.
Yeah, that island mentality.
Yeah. I wish, they ought to get, there's a lot of islands that ain't got the island mentality, if you know what I mean. Junior, thanks for your call. I appreciate it, man.
All right
so you guys, BP. All right, brother. And by the way, good luck in L.A., man. You'll need it. I'm kidding. He's been here long enough. All right, so BP, oil siphon captures about 1,000 barrels daily, so they say. Ted Turner has been weighing in. To anybody that'll listen to him, Ted just stands on the street outside of whatever it is he's living in these days, some mansion, someplace. With some resort hotel, and he stands there and he just waits for someone to ask him, gee, Mr. Turner, what do you think? And he says, well, now I know we got a piece of audio here from Ted, and I clicked and dragged his ass into the audio file, bud, so let's just go ahead and reboot and see if we can find the Ted Turner. Here he is here. This is Ted Turner in an interview with, CNN. Ted Turner suggests that G-O-D, God, is speaking to us through the BP oil spill, as well as other recent energy-related disasters.
You know, I'm not a real religious person, but I'm somewhat religious. And I'm just wondering if God's telling us he doesn't want us to drill offshore, because it sure is setting back offshore drilling. And right before that, we had that coal mine disaster in West Virginia, where we lost 29 miners. And last week... 2 days ago, the Chinese lost 29 miners, too, in another mine disaster over in China.
Another God thing
there.
There's
one over there every week. Well. And maybe, you know, the Lord's tired of having the mountains of West Virginia, the tops knocked off of them so they can get more coal. I think maybe we ought to just leave the coal in the ground and go with solar and wind power and geothermal where it's applicable.
So possibly God's work in a way.
Well, it could be.
Yeah.
He's sending us a message.
He sent us a message through a lot of incompetent oil rig workers.
Most of the people who have died, and the rest of us will be cannibals.
So well, there you go. 877-876. Remember what Ted said.
Most of the people who have died.
And so anyway, Ted Turner talking there about the BP oil spill. Now, I got my own theory, and it goes something like this. They don't know their ass from a hole in the ground. How about that? Now, I happen to be a pro-drilling guy, or I was. That's right. I say was because I ain't no more. Now, let me tell you why I feel the way I feel. And I think that some of you guys may recognize yourselves in what it is I'm about to say. Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing 1, 2, 3. All right, here it is. First of all, I went to bat like a lot of you guys did for the oil companies. I said, you know, we should drill, and we should use our resources, and we should this and we should that. And we did battle with the environmentalists, and we told them all to take a chill and back off and quit wilting our permanents and just go get a job or do something else. And we went to bat, and you heard me on the air saying, right out here in the Santa Barbara Channel, where I live in California, there's sea lions, there's seals, there's whales, there's frolicking mermaids, there are centaurs and mythic creatures, and the sirens, they're singing from the hills, and it's all coexisting with oil. I said it because it was. But and I sent all of this as a way of propping the oil industry. Do they need the money? No, they don't. Do they need me to do that? Probably. But the fact is, do they give a crap? No. Do they even know I exist? No. But I did it because I'm an American. I believe that this was the best way for my country. Now I see what happens in the Gulf. And that just about, that tore it for me, brother. And I'll tell you why when we come back. Maybe take a few more phone calls on that if you want. Yeah, we don't have to if you don't want to, because frankly, I'll say it for you. And also, this teacher apologizes for beating up a kid.
Phil Henry.
Although I don't know why. I'm kidding. World-famous Phil Henry Show, BP oil siphon captures 1,000 barrels a day. So make a long story short about this. I'm not going to say anything more profoundly brilliant than I don't. Well, yes, I am actually going to say things more profoundly brilliant than what other people have said, because I haven't heard anybody say this. Here it is. I'm not going to hold on to an idea if it's not a good idea anymore. I'm not going to play that game because that's not going to help my country. I happen to love this country. And like that. Now, I know it sounds corny and perhaps a bit disingenuous, but that's how I kind of live my life. I don't, you know, how else do you do it? I don't know. I'm going to have to hold on to this idea, even if it's a bad idea. I'm just going to hold on. What's the point? Now, I'm looking out here at this Gulf of Mexico. What I just got done saying a few minutes ago, where everybody who was in favor of drilling for oil said the same thing. We'll go ahead and do battle with the environmentalists and everybody else. We have to drill for oil. We're not going to drill for any more oil in the Middle East. As far as I'm concerned, I think they ought to shut down all oil drilling all over the world right now, if you want my honest opinion, which I know you don't, but, well, yes, you do. And it wouldn't bother me. I think it should have been regulated the way the nuclear industry was regulated. It never occurred to me until I heard the great general from that cat from New Orleans. Remember that general? I don't know his name, but I think he's a great man. You know, that first president of the United States? I don't know his name, but I think he was a great man. And he said, to hell with BP. Oh, yeah, George Washington. Anyway, he said it ought to be regulated the way the nuclear industry is regulated, because if anything goes wrong with the nuclear industry, guess what? No planet Earth. Well, maybe oil isn't quite that bad, but right now, that oil that is being spilled into the Gulf by way of this busted BP derrick is starving the Gulf of Mexico of oxygen. Because of all the oil that's in the water, all of the sea life, all of the plant life, dead. I don't hold on to, I just love oil drilling in the face of that. It just isn't going to happen. It ain't going to happen. I'm not going to stand up and defend these scum-sucking dogs at British Petroleum or Shell or Standard or wherever it is. You jackasses, I know how you do business. We all know how it's done. You think that if you can save a little money here and cut a little corner there, are there any men running these industries anymore? That's what I'm asking right now. Are there any real men running the auto industry? Are there any real men running the oil industry? Are there any real men running the radio industry, the television industry? Where are all of the great men? Where are all the great women? Where are the great people? They're nowhere. What we have instead are hand-wringing grandmothers. Guys that sit down with a bean counter and say, how much is it going to cost me if we go ahead and make these safety evaluations and we implement these changes, as opposed to getting my ass sued? And, you know, what's the difference there, Charlie? Well, I think maybe 13%. Oh, okay. Well, I think we can live with that, because guess what? If we spill enough of this garbage into the Gulf, the government's going to pay for it. We're British Petroleum. We don't know what we're doing. I think it's a great ad for you guys. We're British Petroleum. We don't know our ass from a hole in the ground. We don't know our ass from a hole in the Gulf. And we're Exxon, and we're Standard, and we're all of those companies. Now, I know that there are people who will say, oh, we've been drilling and it's been fantastic. I got news for you. I don't give a damn how long people have been drilling for what. We fought wars over this stuff. And I'm all in favor of that, because war is self-interest. I don't know where people have been, but if you think war is anything other than self-interest, and war is necessary because it helps great countries like my country survive. Some people may think that war isn't necessary because they don't give a damn where they live, or so they say. I happen to like this country, but when we're fighting wars for oil and it's a natural resource we need, I can understand that. But when I turn around and I look at these bastards who are in that business for a living, and this is the result, I'm done. I'm done. I ain't going to be breaking bread with Robert Redford. I'm not going to sit down and kissy face with Al Gore. I'm just telling you, I'm done with oil drilling. I live right on the coast of California. I live in an area that I love dearly. I love the Santa Barbara Channel area of Southern California dearly. It's a beautiful place. And we have our Channel Islands out here. You can hike them. You can camp there. You can see all kinds of wildlife. The channel itself in the wintertime, especially when we have the Pacific gray whales going south, it's just a beautiful place. I love this place. I'm going to tell you something right now. We have oil derricks out there. I got no problem with it. I didn't until I saw what happened in the Gulf. If it happens here, and it already did, back in 1969, 1970, people who live in California will tell you all about the Santa Barbara oil spill. It was a freaking disaster. It's what gave birth to the environmental movement in California. You think this thing in the Gulf is new? Forget it. Right out here, Santa Barbara, 69, that's 40-some years ago. And these dumbasses ain't learned a thing. So you can take your oil, you can take your tankers, and all of the arguments that I made, just this one private citizen, Phil Hendry, and there's been others, on behalf of you guys in the oil business, you can shove it so far and deep, man, that you never see it again. I'm all finished with you cats. I don't give a damn what you do. I don't care if you've got some new bright idea on how this, that, or something else. You're destroying a part of this world, man. You're destroying a part of my country. The Gulf of Mexico is where men and women make a living. And because you did what? What was your problem? Well, we didn't have the right. You don't. All of a sudden, you got your thumb parked up your rear end. You don't know what you're doing. I thought you were in the oil drilling business. You guys will never. If there's a God in heaven, BP will cease to exist. If there's a God, I got your God, Ted. Let me tell you something about God, Turner. Okay. You weird-ass God Almighty. You know, give a guy a few bucks, man. Woo! There goes. He's just. You're a genius, Ted, when it came to, you know, CNN and Turner movies, and I love the Turner classic movies, and I even like Robert Osborne. But when you start going on about cannibals, man, I mean, Katie, bar the door, Jack. I mean, when you're.
Most of the people will die.
Yeah. So anyway. You talk about God. If there's a God in heaven, there will be no British Petroleum Standard on none of that stuff. I don't know what we're going to use. I'm perfectly honest. I don't know. But I, you know, either we stop drilling oil or we start doing it a completely different way. And let me tell you something else. You know, a lot of people went to bat for the oil industry, including Obama. You got a whole lot of people all bugged at him from his jive-ass neck of the woods, that jive, progressive, liberal bunch of phony balonies and hypocrites talking about how, oh my goodness gracious, the oil drilling. I bet you those bastards are clicking their heels with joy. Obama went out on a limb, a lot of people did, to protect you guys in the oil industry, and this is what we get. I'm through, I'm finished, and anybody listening to me tonight, you know, I think if you're smart, you do the same thing. Screw them. Well, what are we going to run our cars on? Gee, I guess we'll have to walk. I don't care anymore. Because as I said to you, if the same thing were to happen out here in the Gulf, or out here in the channel where I live, I mean, it would be a disaster. You know, I live on the coast. A lot of people don't. A lot of people live inland. I live in the ocean. I like living on the ocean. It makes me feel like I got some place to escape to in case it gets real hot and, you know, things get a little hot, man. I can just go ahead and dive into the ocean and swim for it. And I love it out here. So, and we have oil derricks, and we've got a lot of guys make their living out here. But if that same thing were to happen in this channel, it would be an unbelievable disaster. So rather than that happening, and the only other thing that I can suggest is the following. Like I said, we get a regulatory agency in place yesterday that is so onerous and such a burden on the oil industry, they got no choice. Because what do you think they're going to do? Get out of the oil business? Not in a million years. You tell them you want to be in the oil business, this is how it's going to be. You want to drill? Sure, we'll drill. We're going to make it so tough for you. You guys would rather dig for that stuff with a spoon, man, than go through what we're going to make you go through. Now, I ain't seen any British Petroleum gas stations out here lately because out here on the West Coast, I don't know if we got BP or not. We used to have Gulf. They ran their ass out of here. I think we got Union. I think we got Standard. I don't know who. I don't think we got any BP. But if I ever do see a freaking BP station, one thing guaranteed, I'll keep on driving. Now, does that sound unreasonable of me? It might have sounded unreasonable of me if it was 40 years ago, 30 years ago, maybe even 20 years ago, maybe even right after Exxon Valdez. If I were to say stop all oil drilling, it probably would have sounded pretty stupid. But this is 2010 to be precise, and we still are dealing with this stuff? And I'm listening to these guys talking about, well, when we finally get the other drill in and we finally get the other oil well dug, and that's just in a few months, Jack, you will have murdered everything in the Gulf of Mexico. It'll be dead. You guys fix that leak, BP, and then do everybody a big fat favor. Get the hell out of our lives, okay? And for the rest of you jackasses, whether you're Union or Standard, if you guys ever repeat this, I'm in favor of nationalizing your stinking rotten industry tomorrow. Am I a socialist? Am I a commie? Hell no. But I don't need to see. Let me tell you something. There comes a time when the government does have to take over an industry when these guys are so irresponsible, so sloppy and lousy with how they do their business, and I'm getting sick of it personally. You want to know why everybody was kissing Sullenberger's ass last spring? You remember that guy, Sully? You want to know why everybody, every time a hero comes along like that we all want to know the guy? Because he knows what he's doing. We haven't got anybody in this country running any kind of business that has any idea of what the hell it is they're doing. Not a one. Not a one. Have you seen one lately? Where?
What about, like, the candy makers and stuff?
What do you mean the candy makers?
Well, they know what they're doing, don't they?
Yeah, I guess they do. Okay.
Right, there's one.
All right, M&M and Hershey, they know what they're doing, okay?
Yeah, Hershey.
Hershey. I'll tell you one guy that doesn't know what he's doing, you, bud. Boy, some of the jokes you're laying out.
What do you mean? Everybody knows about Hershey.
Ha, 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 isn't that funny? Hershey. A new study says kids who lie grow up to be successful in life. Oh, bull crap. I don't want to do that story. But I read it, so I guess I better. Hershey.
Well, what else?
All right, so the candy guys know what they're doing. And let's see. That's it. That's all I can think of. Although the guy that made the ball gag has a pretty good idea.
What are you talking about?
Go ahead. Hold him down, Robert.
Get out of here.
Yeah. All right, 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Shores, El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
All right, coming up, we have Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills, and we're going to discuss a little bit with him more about the Caribbean travel business. It's all, you know, it's all very related. Our number is 877-876. Phil, keep that in mind for, you know, your personal use. You can call us anytime. We're not going to answer the phone when we're not on the air, but did you ever do that as a kid? I used to do that. I was so in love with radio that I would call the number that I heard even when the guy wasn't on the air and just listen to it ring because I thought that was cool. Boy, oh boy.
God, man, what a that's crazy.
Is that it?
Yeah, that's my commentary for today.
Teacher apologizes for recorded beating of student. Now, I read this and I thought, yeah, this is bad, of course I don't believe the teachers should beat students, but I just thought, I bet you anything they'd had it. You know, whoever this woman is, I believe her name is Sherry Lynn Davis. I bet you she just said, okay, that's it. That's it. Boom! In Houston, Texas, she was recorded on a cell phone video beating up a kid last Friday. She said it was without excuse. Her name is Sherilyn Davis. She's a science teacher. I think it's like being a cop. Either you're cut out for the job or not. Now, no one ever, I think, imagined in their wildest dreams that teachers would be, involved in some of the situations we see them involved in. But I got to believe, as long as there have been kids and as long as there have been teachers, it's always been a challenge to teach kids. It's always been a challenge to get them to pay attention, to get them to sit down and shut up, to get them to, retain information, to get them to alter their behavior so that it isn't quite as offensive as it might be. It's always a challenge to sort of, orient kids. Okay, hi, how you doing? Are you a kid? Yeah, I am. I just got born. Okay. There's a couple of things. I don't want to bother you. Well, where's all the candy? And we'll get to the candy in a minute, okay? Yeah, because it tastes really good. And also, I want a bike and I want toys. Well, just if you could hold on. No, I don't want to hold on. Oh, God. What? Look, man, you can have candy and bicycles and toys and all that crap, but I got to let you know a few things.
Like what?
Okay, first of all, you see that bonfire over there?
Yeah.
Don't put your face in it.
But I want to. What? Never let me go. Like,
if you put your face in that bonfire, you're going to wind up looking like Freddy Krueger, man. Do you understand? So, I'm being ridiculous, but you see that desk fan?
Mm-hmm.
Don't put your hand in it, man. So, you know what happened is we could never convince the kids not to put their hands in desk fans. So we wound up coming up with those desk fans with the fabric blades.
Those things are bitching. Remember when you had one?
I had one. It got broken. Gee, I wonder who did that.
Yeah, bud. I didn't break it.
Well, you had it that one day, fooling around, sticking your finger in it. Who was sticking that? Who's sticking his face in it? You or me?
You.
Bull crap, you were. And when I got the thing back, it doesn't work.
Well, you said I'm not going to be hurt.
Listen, dummy. The fan isn't going to hurt you, okay? But if you're sticking your face into that fan, that fabric fan, even if it's not going to hurt you, you're still jamming that thing, man, the motor on it. God. So anyway, teaching kids is a challenge. Now along comes Sherilyn Davis, and she flipped. Yeah, she says, I apologize for the pain that the result of this situation has brought. She took no questions about her attack on Isaiah Reagan at Jamie's House Charter School. Jamie's House. I don't like names of schools like Jamie's House. I think it should be, Ethel Merman Memorial, something.
Who's he?
You know it's a woman, and you went, who's? You were trying to think of something funny to say.
No.
It's a singer. It should be like Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, get out of here with Jamie's House. That's number one. Number two, so then she beats the crap out of this kid. He has a black eye. He's got other bruises. His mother, Alicia Johnson, she filed a lawsuit last Thursday against Davis, the school, the planet Earth, everybody. God, Jesus. CNN reports that Davis claims she was punishing Isaiah for allegedly laughing at a classmate with special needs. Janiqua Johnson, one of Isaiah's classmates, filmed the attack on her mobile phone. In the footage, which has made its way onto the internet, Davis can be seen dragging Isaiah across the floor before kicking and slapping him. The video, which was purchased by CNN, no, I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing, who's a little girl? Janiqua. You idiot, you could have made big money with that video, but instead you ran home and put it on YouTube. Yawn. The video shows the children initially thought that Davis was joking. At the beginning of the video, the children laugh and clap, but the laughter stops abruptly when Davis hits the boy with a short right hand and then counters with a roundhouse left. Janiqua told the TV station KHOU in Houston that the teacher snapped. She just, quote, started beating him up, Janiqua told KHOU. His behavior may have been bad, but he didn't deserve to get his ass whipped. She didn't say that. We are paraphrasing. Here is the apology from Sherilyn Davis.
I would also like to apologize to each and every one of you. I apologize for the pains that the result of this situation has brought us to. I apologize for this particular incident. Mm-hmm. And I am very regretful and sorry that this incident has ever occurred.
I would defend her in the lawsuit, and this would be my claim. You know what? We have teachers that can't take it any longer with your brats. Now, what do you think of that?
Your Honor, Mr. Hendry, he's making an argument that has no bearing on the case.
No, Your Honor, I think it does have bearing on this case. I think it's unconstitutional. I think it's a human rights violation. I think it's a violation of the civil rights of this teacher to have to go into a classroom and deal with some brat that was set loose by that woman right there, Mrs. Well, I'll get her name later, Your Honor. My client, Ms. Davis, who teaches these children every day, is set forth into a hostile work environment so fostered by the state, county, and municipality of Houston, Texas. And therefore, Your Honor, and in conclusion, can we break for lunch? Yes, Your Honor. That's what I'd do. And I ain't kidding either, man. I'd take your case, Ms. Davis, because I think the time has come for teachers to start, well, I was going to say fighting back, but you already did that part. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Coming up next, Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills on, well, more on business and vacations as we study this economy further on The Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.